Good morning. Today's Daf Baba Basra's Pei Dalet. We start with the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Hamocher Rosh Behem Agasa. So once again, the Mishnah is going to be a continuation of the discussion of buying and selling, a transaction where the seller is going to be selling something to the buyer, and we're looking for the stam. We're looking for the what is default included in the sale and what is not included in the sale. We've been talking about properties, housing. We've gone over a slew of different items that were intended for sale, and what is normally included and what is not normally included. And now we're talking about the sale of animal parts. Hamocher Rosh Behemagasa. So let's say you buy the head of a large animal. So legs are not included. Apparently there was a custom back then where when you bought a small animal, as we'll see in just a moment in the Mishnah, so legs were included. The small animal's head doesn't give you much meat, so you want a little bonus. So the little bonus that you get is the legs. That's normally what is included. But we're here talking about a large animal, and when in the sale of the head of a large animal, so the legs are not included. Machas raglaim lo machas rosh. Conversely, if you buy just the legs of the animal, so the head is not included. Machas akana lo machas akaved. If let's say you're buying the trachea, the windpipe, and of course including that is the lungs as well. So when you buy the trachea, so you do not get the liver. Liver is not included. However, machas akaved. I'm sorry, not however. Machas akaved lo machas akana. The opposite is also true. Meaning, if I buy liver, so the trachea plus lungs are not included. Avabadaka. Now, that's all regarding a large animal. And again, the nature of the large animal is that every piece in of itself is significant. And so, therefore, when you buy one piece of the animal, so it does not include other pieces as well. Masha, Einkein, however, avabadaka. When you're buying a small animal, machas rosh, machas raglaim. So when you buy the head, the legs are included. Machas raglaim, lo machas rosh. But now, the converse is not true. That when you buy the legs, the head is not included. In other words, the head is a more significant portion of that animal. So when you buy the head, legs are included, but not the other way around. Machar as a kana, machar as a kaved. When you buy the trachea, again, trachea includes the lungs. So when you're buying the trachea and the lungs of an animal, of a small animal, so liver is included. Again, it's the same basic idea, is that the liver of a small animal is really not that significant, and so therefore gets included with that, but gets included in that package. However, machas akaved lo machas akana, but the opposite is not true. That if you sell if you're purchasing a liver of a small animal, so you don't necessarily get the kana as well. Okay, so the Mishnah gave us just a very basic tour of when you go to the butcher and you're demanding animal parts, what to be expected, what not to be expected. Again, all this is generic when it was not specifically clarified what was being sold to which parts exactly are being sold. Okay, arba midos b'mochrim. And then the Mishnah goes on to tell us that there are four midos. Midos over here, says the Rashman, just simply means dinim, meaning there are four separate laws when it comes to the sale. And so let's categorize. Number one, machal ochitim yafos v'nimtzos raos. Let's say I sold wheat and I pledged that the wheat was going to be good wheat, and it turned out that the wheat was not good wheat. Halokech yachol lachzavos. So under those circumstances, so who got defrauded? Obviously the buyer. The buyer therefore can be chozer. Raos v'nimtzos yafos. Let's go the other way. Let's say that the promotion of this particular sale is that it's going to be really poor quality. It's the worst. And I'm telling you it's bad. You're right, it's bad. But obviously the purpose of the sale is to receive a deep discount for the quality being so bad. And nimtzu v'nimtzos yafos. And it turns out that as a mistake from the seller's standpoint, meaning he thought he was selling inferior, but it turns out that when they opened up the bag, they see that it was really superior. So now, who got defrauded? The seller got defrauded. So mocher yachol lachzavos. So then the mocher could be chozer. Okay. So we are now describing two scenarios in which either the seller got defrauded the first one is the buyer got defrauded, or the seller got defrauded. In both of those cases, the one who got defrauded is the one who can retract. An important Rashbam over here. Let's see it inside. The Rashbam writes machal ochitim yafos, the sale of good wheat. Where in the first case, where the promotion was that the wheat was going to be of a superior quality, the Rashbam writes. So the condition was made, meaning it was like a real stipulation made in the deal that I'm going to be selling you good wheat. So the Rashbam says, let's rule out the following. It is not a mekachtos, meaning we're not talking about voiding the sale. Now, why isn't it a mekachtos? Because truth of the matter is that for the most part, the sale was correct. meaning I told you I was going to sell you wheat, I did sell you wheat. We're now just talking about the quality of the wheat. So we're not going to say, says the Rashbam, that this is a mekachtos. Now, the Rashbam has to say that. Why? Because if it's a mekachtos, so then we're not going to have a discussion of who can void the sale, meaning the sale is voided, period. The fact that we have the Mishnah describes where, in a situation where the buyer was defrauded, he can void the sale. In a situation where the seller was defrauded, he can void the sale. So clearly, this is obviously the intent of the Rashbam therefore says, this is not just a blanket mekachtos, the sale is good, it just happens to be, there are questions now of fraud, meaning onah. Continuing in the Rashbam, v'imishum deraz neinu ein ze'ala onah. Now, it's true that the seller said it was going to be top quality wheat, and when the buyer opened up the sack, it was not top quality wheat. Okay, this is an issue of onah, meaning we're not going to avoid the sale as a result of that. It's now just an issue of being defrauded. Kigon onah shesus. V'yachol lokeach lachsu sharet nit'aneh. And under these circumstances, now we go to our rules of onah, which is that if the fraud was anything of a sixth and above, and I guess you have to do an evaluation, if the fraud is anything of a sixth and above, so now the one who was defrauded, in the first case, that would be the buyer, so now he can, again, go based on the rules of onah, either get refunded the difference, or void the sale altogether. But as far as the seller is concerned, who wasn't defrauded in the first case, so then he can't be chosen, he can't retract. Going back to the Gemara Bamitzia, the Rashbam quotes, the one who was defrauded, he has the option. He's in the driver's seat. You can either ask for your money back, you can ask for the difference in price. Now the Rashbam reminds us, if you go all the way back to Bamitzia, and remember the fourth parak of Bamitzia, that's a long time ago. But if you remember all that way back, so you remember that the halacha doesn't necessarily follow that Mishnah. Da pasak Rava Bahazav, because Rava over there ruled, Shesus kana machzir onah. Ve'enu yachol amar tein li ma'usi. That if it's exactly a sixth that was defrauded, so then you do not get to void the sale. The only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to get the refunded difference. But the Rashbam says, but I think that that's talking about a question, that's a question of defrauding in the price. Over here, we're talking about defrauding in quality. And the Rashbam says, I think under these circumstances, you can be chozer. Meaning the one who was defrauded in quality, even if the amount of the fraud was, let's say, a six, you can retract on the sale. Why? Sharehi tov lo haya dato likach raus. Because here, if we agree to the item, it just happens to be that I got ripped off in terms of price. Okay. Then we're going to go back to the conclusion of the Gemara Bamitzia. Add a six, refund the difference. Greater than a six, okay, then I can void the sale. But here, when we're talking about difference in quality, so over here, the Rashbam makes the argument that when whoever gets defrauded is going to be in the driver's seat to the point where you can even demand a refund, even at a six. So the Rashbam over here makes a very important distinction regarding defrauding versus vis-a-vis the amount you paid and defrauding vis-a-vis the quality of product. If it is defrauding in terms of the amount you paid, so at a six, so the only thing you can ask for is the difference in price. Greater than a six, you can demand the item back or your money back. In the case of quality, so the Rashbam says, even at a six, you can demand your money back and you can return the item back if you get defrauded. The difference, says the Rashbam, is the fact that when you are being defrauded in price, in other words, you got exactly what you wanted. It's just that you paid more than you should have. If it's a defrauding of quality, well, that's not exactly what I asked for. Meaning I asked for a particular quality. You told me it was going to be a particular quality. Once we are a six beyond that, so then you can demand the void the whole sale. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaRashbam, that was an important Rashbam in our discussion, back to the Mishnah. So again, there are four meters when it comes to the Mochrim. So the first two examples were, A, the first example was where the buyer was defrauded. Second example was where the seller was defrauded, in terms of quality. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rose Venimso Rose, Yafos Venimso Yafos. If, let's say, they were promoted to be bad quality and they turned out to be bad. If they were promoted to be good quality and they turned out to be good, so then the sale is a finalized sale and there's no refunding on that sale. Fine. And Shechamtitz Venimsis Levana. Let's say I sold you lentils. I told you the lentils were going to be red. We opened up the bag and the lentils were white. Levana Venimsis Shechamtitz. Or let's say I told you that the lentils were going to be white and we opened up the bag and turned out to be red. Eitzim Shosais Venimsis Shoshikma. I told you the wood that I'm selling you is olive wood and it turns out to be sycamore wood. Shikma Shoshikma Venimsis Shosais. Or Yain Venimsis Chometz. I told you it was going to be wine and turned out to be vinegar. So in these examples, since that which was promoted and that which was actually sold are so radically different than one another. Now I say radical differences, meaning, keep in mind, we're talking about the difference between a white bean versus a red bean. A red bean versus a white bean. But that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Meaning we are now at such a degree of difference of product itself, so then the sale is voided. We are now talking about a scenario in which the sale gets voided. It's that the sale is not a binding sale. It's not a finalized sale. And that's the fourth halacha of the Mishnah. So basically, there are a case where either the buyer gets defrauded, the seller gets defrauded, the sale stands, or the sale is voided from the very origination because the product is so radically different than that which it was promoted to be. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the mission. We start with the Gemara. Gemara begins the following discussion. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista deals with the following scenario. Machlo shav chamesh b'sheish. I sold you something that was actually worth five, but I sold it to you for six. Okay, a perfect example, perfect illustration of Ona, where I defrauded you, and I defrauded you by the magic number 1/6. A six of greater than what it was. V'hukar, v'amen al shmona. Now, so in the original transaction, so who was defrauded? So the it was valued at five, and I sold it for six. So in the original transaction, it was the buyer who was defrauded. But now here's what happened. However, after the item now is transferred hands into the hands of the buyer, v'hukar, then market made a correction, and the item that I bought now actually went up in value, v'amad al shmona, and now it was worth eight. So, originally the buyer was defrauded. And then, with a market correction, so now what the buyer is holding on to in his hand is something that was valued much greater than what it originally was valued at. So now, mi nit'ane. So, who is the one who was defrauded? Lokeach. Lokeach yachol achzor bo. So the one who was defrauded was the buyer. And therefore, if the buyer wants to, he can retract. Now at this point in time, he's holding something in his hand that's valued much more than what he paid for. But because at the time of the sale he was defrauded, so if he'd like to, he can retract on the sale. V'lo mocher. But the mocher cannot retract. Meaning, can you imagine the chutzpah? Actually, unfortunately I can. But can you imagine the chutzpah of the mocher, where the mocher says to the lokeach, look, I'm really sorry. When I sold it to you, it was really valued at five, and I sold it to you at six, and I overcharged. And now what I would like to do is I'd like it back. I apologize for defrauding you. But I'd like it back. But we understand, though, I'm really asking for it back because the value of it right now is significantly higher. So, of course, I would like to void the sale so that I can get it back at its current value of 8. So what Rav Chista tells us, and it's kind of intuitive, and we probably would have come to this conclusion, and that is, no, the seller can't do that. The seller was the one who originally defrauded. And therefore, the seller is not going to be in any kind of position where he can go back, revisit the sale, and say, look, I defrauded you, I'd like to void the sale. So, and that's exactly the point of Rav Chista. So, lokecha cholach zebov lo mocha mishum de amalei, ilu lo onisam lo hava masis hadadbach. look, it's you who defrauded me. This is what the buyer is saying to the seller. It's you who defrauded me. We wouldn't be having any of this discussion had you not defrauded me. The fact of the matter is you defrauded me. And now you want to come back to me at a later point in time and you want to cancel the sale? That's ridiculous. Okay. So, so let me just finish the sentence. So now that I'm defrauded, so I can retract against you, but you can't retract against me. Okay, Vitanatuna. And the Gemara points out, now really the truth of the matter is that this statement of Rav Chista is nothing more than just a reinforcement of what we learned back in the Mishnah. Let's go back to what we learned in the Mishnah. Yafos v'nimtzu raos. So in a case where I promoted that I was selling to you good quality wheat, turns out that it was inferior wheat. Lokeach yachol achzerbo v'lamocher. So who got defrauded? The buyer. Who can retract on the sale? The buyer. And that's it, period. Only the buyer can retract on the sale and not the... And not the seller. Okay, that is number one. Next halacha of Rav Chista is going to be the same. It's just we're going to go in the other direction. Let's say I sold you something that was valued at six, but I sold it to you for five. Okay, and now in this case, who got defrauded? The seller got defrauded. He knew that the item was valued at six, let's assume. He knew that the item was valued at six, and whatever, he made a mistake, and he sold it for five, and so now the buyer took advantage of the seller. So, excuse me. So, Makalo Shavashish B'chamesh B'hu Zlu V'amdu Al Gimel, and now the item really went down in value. Again, another market correction. And now the item is down to three. So, Minit Anem Mocher. So, who over here in this case got defrauded? The seller. Mocher Yachol Achzabav Lo Lokech. So, the Mocher can retract but not the Lokech. Meaning, you can imagine now that after the item has gone dropped to such a degree, such a value, so now... the buyer who originally got a steal, and I mean that here literally, the buyer originally got a steal, so now he's going to go to the seller and say, look, I'm really sorry, you know, I bought it from you on the cheap, and I knew it was six, and I bought it for five, and I'm really sorry, and I'd like to cancel the sale. But now the item is worth three, and from the seller's standpoint, perfect. Meaning he got five for it. Now it's valued at three. So exactly, it's the same point that we made previously. We're just going the other direction. So now, since the seller who was the one who was originally defrauded, so now the buyer can't turn around and say, well, because of market fluctuation, I'd like to give it back to you and I'd like to avoid the sale. Again, that's ridiculous. It was the seller who got defrauded. The seller remains in the driver's seat from this point going forward. Doesn't seem that way. I don't know. I don't know of any time limit.
I thought it had to be like a time that it takes to go and ask around. That was
Right. We had that discussion. I don't remember. Okay. I'm sorry. I just don't remember. But I don't. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know. Vitana tuna. And again, the Gemara. I'm sorry. I skipped a couple lines, but the same lines that we read previously. The Amrle. So, and again now, in this case, the seller says to the buyer, look, I'm the one who got defrauded. You now want to come to me and you want to cancel the sale? I was the one who was defrauded. So, and the only reason why you're coming to me now is because you defrauded me. So you can't be in a position now where you're going to say, I'd like to cancel the sale. No, I'm in the position where I can cancel the sale, but not you. Okay. Vitana tuna, just one second. Vitana tuna, the Gemara says, and again, same point that we learned back in the Mishnah. Reus v'nim su yafos. Now we're going to look in the case of the Mishnah where I sold you something that originally was inferior. I promoted it being inferior. Turns out to be superior. So again, we're talking about a case where the seller got defrauded. Mocher yachol achzerbo v'lo lokech. The Mishnah says that it's the mocher who can retract, but not the lokech. Okay, so we have two halachas of Rav Chista, both reinforced by what was saying in the Mishnah. Yes?
So there's a default. If using the word fraud, it's a very strong word. You have to assume then that someone had information during that sale. Is that correct?
In a case...
See that no one knew about it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, a week later, they're looking at the market, oh, wow.
Right, there has to be an assumed price of an item. There has to be. Okay, so my kamash malan masnisanhi. So the kamash question here is now very simple, meaning you quoted Rav Chista, you quoted the Mishnah, but once the Mishnah says it, why do I need Rav Chista? Okay, so basically the halachas that we learn from Rav Chista is that in both the case aware, either A, the buyer was defrauded, or B, the seller was defrauded. So when in A, the buyer is defrauded, he can retract, but not the seller. When B, the seller is defrauded, he can retract, not the buyer. This is basically what Rav Chista is teaching us. And even, and I mean, Rav Chista is just giving a little more of an illustrative example, but effectively it's the same thing. Meaning, what Rav Chista is telling us is exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. And the Gemara's question now is very simple. What is Rav Chista's contribution to our whole discussion? Everything Rav Chista is saying is in the Mishnah. So what did Rav Chista add? That's the Gemara's question. My kamashmal and masisani. So the Gemara says, "Imi masisan havamina delma Rav Chista tavai masa hadrabahu." So the Gemara says, "Well, no. Maybe if all I had was the Mishnah, here's what I might have walked away from. I might have said after having learned the Mishnah that truth of the matter is both of them can retract. And the Mishnah is just really telling us an extra chiddush. Again, this is a havamina. The Mishnah is telling us an extra chiddush, which is that the buyer can retract." Why would I have thought that the buyer cannot retract? Because, let's go over how a normal transaction looks between a buyer and a seller. What is a seller saying during the course of the sale? This is the greatest thing ever. You're gonna love it. I'm telling you, it's the best car. It's just the best. It's the best. And what is the buyer saying? I don't know. So it's not that good. Meaning, if you know, I guess I'll buy it, but I'm not that enthused by it. Meaning that in the normal course of negotiation between a seller and a buyer, the seller is always going to be promoting it's the best, and the buyer is always going to be promoting, I don't really think so. And so therefore, I might have thought, meaning this is all in the Havamina, of what I would have thought without Rav Chista. I really would have thought that as far as who can retract, well, of course the seller can retract, but from the buyer's standpoint, isn't the buyer always going to say, no, it's not that good? Meaning, isn't that his normal standpoint? And then when it turns out that it's not that good, well, maybe you can make the argument, well, that's what the buyer said is going to happen anyway. And so maybe he can't retract. So the Gemara's point is no, that even though the buyer at the time of the sale was kind of balking at how good it was, right? That's what that the Pasuk and Mishnah, the Gemara quotes, Kra ra yomer akona. The buyer's going to say it's bad. Yes, in other words, that's the position you take in the course of the transaction. But if the seller's promoting it as being a good quality, and it turns out that it's not a good quality, so then the way I would have learned the Mishnah without Rav Chista is that even the buyer can retract. That's what I would have said. Rav Chista is coming to tell me, no, that's not the right way to learn the Mishnah. The right way to learn the Mishnah is when the seller says it's good quality, and it turns out not to be good quality, there's only one person that could retract, and that's the Netana, the one who was defrauded in the first case of the Mishnah, which is the buyer. And then in the second case of the Mishnah, where it was promoted to be bad and turns out to be good, then the seller was defrauded, and then only the seller can retract, not the buyer. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of the first sugya of the Gemara. I'll note it now. It's really important. The top Tosfos on the Amud, talking about where the overcharge exceeded a six. And under those circumstances, the Gemara Bava Metzia taught us that both parties can retract. Why should that be? Shouldn't we just simply say that the one who was defrauded? So it's a short Tosfos, but it's really important. See Tosfos for a discussion of why do we assume that if it's greater than a six, both parties can retract, and not just the one who was defrauded. Okay. Next discussion on the Gemara, really interesting. Shechamsis v'nimsis levana. The Gemara right now is going to have a very short and very interesting debate in terms of the color of the sun. I know it's funny, but let me introduce it this way. There's a steer in the color of the sun. Okay, you'll look at the sun in the morning, you'll look at the sun in the evening, I'd be right before it sets, and you'll notice that the color of the sun is red. Then, if you can, I wouldn't recommend it, look directly at the sun at midday, and you'll see that the color of the sun is, now I'll say yellow, but the Gemara is going to assume a little more whitish. But anyway, but the sun's color changes. And the Gemara's debate over here, just an interesting little debate, in terms of what is the true color of the sun, and which one is a distorted perception of its color. Okay, so Amar Papa Midiktani Lavanish Mamina Haishimsha Simkasihi. So Rapapa makes the following observation. It says that we are contrasting in the Mishnah red beans versus white beans. Did you see in the Mishnah? You remember the Mishnah how it described the white bean? It described as Lavana. And then when it described the red bean, what did it describe it as? Chama. Meaning, well, not exactly the word chama, but pretty close. Right? Chamtis. Which means that the red bean is basically, you know, sun red. So Rav Papa wants to try to make the observation from the Mishnah that the true color of the sun is really red. So Teda Dekasamka Tzafra Panya Vahid. I'm sorry, it's Tzafra Panya. And Rav Papa makes the empirical observation that if you look at the sun in the early morning and the right before it sets, it's really red, which is its true color. And as far as midday, so it's too bright, and therefore we're not able to see its true color. But its true color is really that of red. I'd kind of differ with Rav Papa. That's Rav Papa's empirical observation, and it's so interesting. He uses the Mishnah and the Mishnah's description of the red bean as being chamtis as another proof positive that the true color of the sun is red. Mates for the Gemara challenges Umaria Amok Mina, or so the Brisa describes Saras. And the Torah describes Saras. It's actually coming up in a couple of parshas from now. Shmini, then followed by Tazria Metzora. So, Umareo Amuk Min Ha'or. And the Brisa goes on to say, Kemare Chama Amuka Min Hatzel. That it is the complexion of that of something which is the sun against the shadow. Meaning that we're looking for the white Saras spot, and it will be similar to that of a sun comparative to a shade. So, by virtue of the fact that we're comparing Saras, which is white in color, at least on the skin, Saras to that of the sun, isn't that a clear indication that the real color of the sun is white? V'asam lavanu. That's a Gemara's point. That the sun's color, if compared to Saras, and we know the color of Saras is white, so therefore the sun must be white. So the Gemara says, no, kamer chama v'lo kamer chama. Kamer chama da'amuka minatzel, v'lo kamer chama di'ilu asam lavan v'acha edam. The Gemara says, no, we're just talking about depth perception. The sunlight creates a deeper perception than that of shade. That's all we mean in the comparison. But in terms of the actual color of the sun is red, not white. Well, amai desalagadaita mikara hakasam ketzafra panya. So the Gemara says, now, Rav Papa is of the opinion that the true color of the sun is red, and and during the daytime, when the sun comes off a little more whitish, it's because it's too bright and we can't really perceive its true color. The Gemara says, now, before Rav Papa came along, so obviously he was negating a thought, which is obviously the opposite. That really the true color of the sun is white. White, yellow, whatever you want to say. But light. Light. And the red sunrise and the red sunset is really a misperception. Meaning that's what Rav Papa is obviously negating. But the Gemara says, but we could defend that as well. How can we defend that? Very simple. In the morning it passes over the Garden of Eden, and the Vradim, the roses of the Garden of Eden, and Bipanya Dechafe Apiska de Gehenim, and in the evening it passes over the entrance of Gehenim. In other words, what you and I would call atmosphere, but again, the Gemara has not only different words for it, but obviously much more descriptive words for it. But basically, it passes through some sort of atmosphere. Gemara describes it as Vered Gan Eden and Pischa de Gehenem, and that's why in the morning and the evening it misperceives to us as being red. Igadami Ibcha, some say it's the opposite, meaning morning is Gehenem and evening is Gan Eden, but either way. And by the way, it's the first one is easier to defend, meaning Gan Eden being in the east, because the Torah says Gan Eden is in the east. But either way, in other words, it's the atmosphere that provides the color, the discoloration of the sun. And that's what we all could have thought. And Rav Papa concludes otherwise. Okay. And Hedy, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask me who the halacha follows over here in terms of the color of the sun, but it's just it's an interesting little debate. Yayin v'nimtzecha m'shnei michom lachza behem. Wine, it turns out to be vinegar, so they both can retract, right? Remember the Rashbam that we learned back in the Mishnah? Over here now, it's different products. So different products, sales voided. Unlike in the case where same product but just different quality. So there, the one who was defrauded can void the sale. Here, if it's a totally different product altogether, so then the sale gets voided. Huh? It is. No, exactly. No, you're right. Meaning that's exactly why the sale is void. Because it is Mekach Tos. So, Yayin v'nimtzecha m'shnei michom lachza behem, leima masisan rebi hivala rabbanan detanya. The Gemara points out that in terms of our Mishnah seems to be going like Rebbe, not like the Chachamim, in the following sense. Yain v'chometz min echad hu, Rebbe omer shnei minim. Wine and vinegar, is it one min or is it two minim? Now, what are we talking about over here? The Rashbam says we're talking about Trumas and Maestros. Meaning, let's go over what we know. Every time you have produce growing in Eretz Yisrael, so I have to separate. And I have to be Torim. I have to take a percentage of it and give 2% to the Kohen, 10% to the Levi, etc., etc. We also know that the Moda B'Mixas, when you make a partial admission, you're only going to be Chayav Shvua if the Hodah and the Taina are coming on the same in. So there are a number of halachas that apply to where something is same species or different species. So wine and vinegar, same species or different species. So on one hand, in terms of its source, same species. Meaning wine comes from grape, vinegar comes from grape. I know vinegar can come from other things as well, but in other words, let's assume, like the Gemara always does, we're talking about wine vinegar. So, in other words, it's just simply wine that continued to get fermented, soured, and becomes vinegar. So the Gemara says, so is yain and chametz one min or two min? Can I be mafresh trumas and maestros from vinegar onto wine or vice versa? Is it going to be a case of modem and mixas, wine vinegar? Wine and vinegar. So that's a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rebbe. Tanakam says it's one and Rebbe says it's two different species. And now it would seem as such that our Mishnah, who says that if I told you it was going to be wine, it turns out to be vinegar, so then Mekach Tos, and sale is void. And is our Mishnah only going like Rebbe? And would the Chachamim disagree? So the Gemara says no. I feel the Tamer Rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan la de Rabbi Elah in Yemaisa v'truma. Uche de Rabbi Elah. No. It could very well be that the Chachamim's comment over here is limited only to Trumas and Maestros. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Elah minayin latar min harali yafesh to Trumas and Truma. Shenem rav lo sisu alav chet barim chemes chalba mimenu. The Torah says in Parshas Korach, when separating Trumas and Maestros, that you have to take off chelev. Now chelev literally means fat, but in this context, chelev means the best. You are not to give off to the Kohen an inferior portion of the produce. If you have the produce of grape, of wine, whatever you have, you must give the best off to him. Now let's say you don't. Let's say you give an inferior. What you did is effective, but it's not good. Meaning, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to take chalef, to take the best and give it to the Kohen. If you take off inferior, so it's effective, but it's what you did is not, it was a, what was a, was re, you didn't do the mitzvah. And the Gemara points out, and how do I know this? Shenema, the pasuk says, V'lo sisu alav chet b'arim chemes chalba mimenu, so imein kadosh nesios chet lama. The Torah describes it as a sin. Meaning, and why is it a sin? Because it's effective. Meaning, even though the Torah says, take off the best, to give it to the Kohen, and you didn't, so the Torah says, Nesiyas Chet, that's a sin. And the Gemara concludes, the logic dictates that the only reason why it's a sin is because it's effective. In other words, had it not been effective, we would just go right back to the drawing board and then say, okay, let's do it again. Take off the best. By virtue of the fact that the Torah calls it a chet, meaning that it must be that it's effective. Mikan l'tar mineral, yafesh truma so truma. So therefore, if I take off the inferior onto the superior, so therefore the truma is going to be truma. And, avaleinim ekachomemka, dukoleam ikadinichale bechamra velo nichale bechala. Vikadinichale bechala velo nichale bechamra. So that's in terms of truma samaisis. But when we're talking about sale and transaction, look, wine and vinegar, are, from a buyer standpoint, two separate items. Meaning when I want to buy wine and it turns out to be vinegar, so I could say to him, look, I'm not here to make a salad, right? I want wine. Or the opposite is also true. So in other words, whatever you may feel regarding wine versus vinegar vis-a-vis trumas and maestros may not impact the question of a sale and whether or not a sale is going to be validated or voided. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah could very well be holding like the Chachamim, not just like Rebbe. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's just quickly recap. Okay, and then we'll start with the Mishnah. Okay, so we started the Mishnah today on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, talking about the sale of the Mishnah. Really, is two halves. First half of the Mishnah is the sale of animal parts. What's included, what's not included when selling animal parts. It's a basic distinction the Mishnah makes between selling the parts of a large animal versus the selling of the parts of a small animal. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe that when it comes to a sale, basically it can be categorized in four different categories. One is where the buyer is defrauded. Two is where the seller is defrauded. Three is where neither is defrauded. And four is where and both are defrauded, or to put it in better terms, it's a mekach talus, and therefore this sale is just simply voided altogether. And in the course of the Gemara, we went through the halachas of Rav Chista, that in the case of a qualitative defrauding, so then the one who was defrauded, and only the one who was defrauded, can renege on the sale, the victim, but not the perpetrator. And then the Gemara went on to a little discussion of the color of the sun, using our Mishnah as, Rav Papa uses our Mishnah as proof positive that the true color of the sun is red, not white. And then a question of wine and vinegar, is that min echad, is it shnei minim? And the Gemara says, you can argue that regarding Trumas and Maestros, but they may not affect our Mishnah altogether, because our Mishnah is talking about a sale, and in the course of a sale, a person who's buying wine is doing so for a totally different reason than a person buying vinegar, and therefore, according to everybody, it's two different species. Continuing, let's start with the Mishnah. So we're doing a transaction on fruit, and I do a Mashiach, I pull it, but I don't measure it, so a kinyan has been made. Okay, meaning that you would think that the measuring of the item that I'm buying is really important, and it is, obviously. But it doesn't create the kinyan. Like we said back in Kedushin, like we're repeating right now, what creates a kinyan, the mechanism of kinyan, is Mashiach. It's pulling on the item. Look at the first Rashbam on the Mishnah. Upasik lo hadamim, meaning we agreed to a price, so we know how much we're going to pay. Bishar hiadua, kol eifa bekach v'kach, meaning we know what the going price is. Every eifa goes for this much money. Umashar kagon besimta v'chatzor shashneim. And you do Mashiach, and the Rashbam reminds us. Remember, Mashiach only works in limited locations. It has to be, can't be in a Rishus Rabbah in a public area. But rather, whether it's in a simta, right, off to the side, an alley off to the side, or chatzor shashneim, or property belonging to both partners, kind of afa pishla madan, and even though you didn't measure, the medida lama akva. Now, as far as the measurement is concerned, that's not going to withhold the sale in terms of the finalizing of the sale. De ena ela gilu milsamama. In terms of the measurement, so that's just going to tell us how much I'm going to pay. But we've already established how much I'm paying per pound. It's just now a question of how much I'm actually going to pay. Kamamacha, ava im lo pasak afa pisha madad, umashach lo kana. Now, if we don't know how much I'm paying, so then even the medida, even the Mashiach is not going to create a kinyan. Kedamina bigmara, delo samcha daitayu shadayna mochi yachola alostimam, komash yirtse, vizeh yacholamra lo ekna elevizol. Meaning, if we don't know what the price is going to be, so then there's no gemir stas, and there's no confidence of buyer and seller. Meaning, even with Mashiach, we don't have a finalized sale because I simply don't know how much I'm paying. And if I don't know how much I'm paying, so the Gemara is going to make this point very clear, then the sale is not going to be finalized even with a Mashiach. Okay, back to the Mishnah. I'm starting again from the beginning. So you do Mashiach, but you didn't measure, you're going to be Kona. Madad v'lo mashach lo kana. Now let's say we measured, but I didn't do a Mashiach. Well, without a Mashiach, you're not kona. Okay, because the Mashiach is the mechanism of kinyan.
Are you technically, when you're measuring, aren't doing hakva?
Right. So stay tuned. Okay. Im haya pikeach. Now, let's say the buyer wanted to be smart, and the buyer wanted to finalize the sale. So socher is makomim. So what he would do, is that he would rent out the area that the item is being measured upon, therefore acquiring it through a kinyan chatzir. Obviously, the seller has to be open to that idea. But that would be a mechanism, another way of acquiring it, even without having done meshicha. When buying flax from somebody, so the meshicha is not going to be kona until he moves it from one place to another. Or, as the Rashman points out, hagba. Again, we'll see why in the Gemara. We'll see why that should be. Now, if it was connected to the ground and you removed it from the ground, you plucked it from the ground, any amount, you're going to be kona. Again, the Rashbam says, stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that point as well later on in the Mishnah. So Ravasi says in the name of Rav Yochanan that if you measure and then you place it on the simta, so you're going to be kona. The Rashbam points that over here, the second Rashbam in the Gemara. V'niach agabi simta kana alokeach. Ki ilu inecham mocheh b'rishus ha-shalokeach. It's as if now the seller is depositing it in the rishus ha-shalokeach. Ukegon shepasak adamim v'simta ista amar shvil shel yechidim. Now, in terms of what a simta is, okay, so the Rashbam says that one pshat could be that it is a path, private pathway, and ishamati knisa boletus mirshus arabim, v'yesh rishus levnei adam la'amish sham chafetim shalahem, kechatzer ashutfim, de'enu asu lehiluch b'nei rishus arabim. Rashbam said this earlier, he's saying it again over here, an alleyway where it's basically a designated area for people to do the transaction. It's not the rishus arabim, it's not the common place that people are walking, it's just an area off to the side where designated for transaction. Okay, so Rav Yochanan tells us that if the seller measures and places it in the simta, so that's going to be enough to create a kinyan. So Amalei Rav Zera le Rebbe Asi Shem lo Shama Rebbe Ela Bimode Lesoch Kupaso. Now wait 1 second. Meaning it's not the lokeach who's doing the meshicha; it is the seller, the mocher, measuring and placing it in the simta, that by itself, says Rav Asi, creates a kinyan. So Rav Zera is trying to process this. And Rav Zera is saying, wait, maybe what you heard is that you measured it and you placed it in a kupa of the buyer. But just to put it down in the simta, what did the lokeach do in order to create the acquisition? So Rav Zera says, I don't think you heard Rebbe correctly. I think what he meant was, Rebbe in this case being Rav Yochanan, I think what he meant was is that he put it in the box of the buyer. Amar Leh, to which Rav Asi was a little bit offended. Amar Leh, Dami Haimer, Rabbanu Kedolo Gamir Ishi Shmaita. Coming off like a person who never learned before. Meaning, I know what I'm saying, and no, I didn't mishear Rav Yochanan. Mada L'soch Kupasa Memer Bai, meaning, if we're talking about where I'm taking the item and I'm putting it in the box of the buyer, so I need a statement to Rav Yochanan for that, meaning that should be obvious that a kinyan is done in such a manner. So no, I don't think that's what Rav Yochanan meant, but rather I think what Rav Yochanan meant is that by simply taking the item and by placing it in the simta, which is again not the rishus harabim and not the property of the seller, but a designated area outside where people do transaction, that by itself is enough to create a transaction. That's how Rav Asi is quoting Rav Yochanan. Now, kibla mineh or lo kibla mineh. Now, the Gemara wanted to know that when Reb Zera, who balked at the suggestion to begin with, and Rav Asi was insistent that this is what Rav Yochanan said, so Reb Zera, did he accept this or did he not accept this? And the Gemara is going to investigate. We'll start now. We'll finish this up tomorrow. Tashma. The Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. I'm Rav Yana, I'm a Rebbe. Rav Yana says the name of Rebbe. Chatzer shufim konum zemizem. So if you have a chatzer of partners, so it can create a kinyan one to another. My love agabe karka. Now, one partner can make a kinyan by taking an item and putting it just in the shared property. That's what Rebbe says. And that in of itself is enough to create a kinyan. Similar to what Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan, that if you put it in a simta, so that it's like a shared property, and therefore that's enough to create a kinyan. So the Gemara says, so we seem now to have a brisa that's supporting Rav Yochanan, at least the way Rav Asi presented it. But the Gemara says, that's not a proof. So the Gemara says, my lava gabe karka. Aren't we talking about where it was placed on the floor? The Gemara says, lo, the toku paso. No. Gemara says that maybe what the brisa meant is just simply where the seller is putting it in the box of the buyer that was on the floor of the chatzer. Hachinami mustar, but the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. Really, that makes the most sense. Why? Because we have a statement made by Rav Yaakov in the name of Rav Yochanan, which is that if you measured and you placed it on the floor of the simta, that's not enough to create a kinyan. So, kasha nadande. So the Gemara says, now, on one hand, Rav Yochanan said that you are kona by putting it in the simta. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan is quoted saying, you're not kona. So the difference must be where? If the seller is just measuring it and putting it down the simta, insufficient. That's not enough to create a kinyan. Even though the simta may be viewed halachically as a shared property, it's just simply not enough to create a kinyan. On the other hand, if let's say the buyer's kupa is on the floor of the simta, and then you put it into the buyer's box, so then that is enough to create a kinyan, and that would be supportive. So, where do we stand right now? So the Mishnah talks about, in order to create a kinyan, you need to do meshicha. Do a measuring is not enough. And where we started the discussion in the Gemara, where we're going to continue tomorrow, is what if I were to measure... what if I were to measure and put it in a shared property, either a simta or a chatzor shel shneim? So we have now Rav Asi saying that that is sufficient in order to create a kinyan. Rabbi Zera does not accept it, and right now the Gemara is supporting Rabbi Zera's notion that it is insufficient to just put it down in the simta, but you have to put it in the box of the lokeach. And that will lead us into tomorrow's daf, which is going to be discussion of Caleb Shalokech. Yes. Okay.